Today on Real Life Radio.
There is no God. There is no hope. There is no nothing. This is all there is and it's over. If that's your worldview, then cry, hopelessly cry. But we want to introduce to you the goodness of God. And the goodness of God says that he is just, that he is fair, that he is loving, that he is kind, that he sent his son Jesus Christ here into this world that you and I could experience eternal life. He is good.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Why Is There a Good and Evil? From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they really believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. But if God is a good God, why does he allow evil to exist in the world? Well, when we break down good and evil, we need to go back to creation. In the beginning, God had a plan that started with Adam and Eve, and it was all good. Then, what went wrong? So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to answer why there is evil in the world and how the closer we get to God, the more our morals and value systems change. When we choose to do good, the Bible tells us, the better it will go for us. And now in his message called Why Is There a Good and Evil, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's interesting that there may be no posted laws, there may be no posted signs, but you might be quite shocked as to how often you do in your life. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying that you and I do so much good that is within us. I'm not talking about us being inherently good. I'm talking about you and I having been created in the image of God. There's this moral law, this natural law that's within every human being that we know that that thing there is the wrong thing to do. You might be at the beach, God forbid, right? But it happens. You might be at the beach and you realize or you see that that man out there or that child looks like they're drowning. And think, the moment you see that that person's in trouble, what's going through your mind? Save them. What's the second question that comes into your mind? I'm serious. Oh, you guys have to be honest here. Okay, well, here's what you're supposed to say. This is what happens when it really happens. Oh my gosh, I think that person's drowning. Someone needs to do something about that. Listen, someone needs to do something about that. You look around, there's nobody. Instantly, your emotion is, if you recognize it or not, built into you by God, self-preservation. First thought, that person's in trouble. Call for help. Have you heard that? Call 911. That is by design, internally, natural law in the human heart. Call 911. There's no phone. There's nobody here. Next thought, self-preservation versus saving their life. Self-preservation versus saving their life. I'm going to save their life. You make a decision at the expense of your own life. It may cost you your life to save that individual. There's no sign posted that when you see someone drowning, you risk your own life and save them. Do you hear me? That is an inherent good that nobody can define or describe. Why? Because you've been created in the image of God. You can, listen, skeptic, atheist, agnostic, whatever, you can argue all the way around the block with theory. But when reality strikes, you, even though you don't believe in God, you have been wired in such a way that you will respond and you'll have to be challenged by the things that God has placed within you. And you may not even believe in God. Good exists. One of the arguments that I say arguments, that sounds kind of abrasive. I don't say to my grandkids, let me give you one of the arguments for the existence of God. I'll say things like this. Isn't it amazing that God thought it would be great to paint the sky blue instead of purple or orange? Or imagine if the sky was orange all the time or yellow. Isn't it amazing that God made it blue, which is pleasant to look at, and he can float big clouds by like he did this week, pleasant to look at. That the trees are green. These are pleasant things. Well, that's because, Jack, the evolutionary process went through this random choosing until green and blue. We're just accustomed to those colors. Okay, I hear that, but as you follow that all the way down, it begins to intensify in all of God's creation. Animals who have an instinct within them that boggles the mind. The fact that you and I as human beings regarding good can love and to care, to create, to exist in such a way. The goodness. When we focus on, listen, man, I got to tell you, I don't want to go off because I don't want to go off. But when we focus on things, when we focus on just the bad things, it can really ruin your day to the point where last Sunday, parents brought their son in the early 20s to church because all he had been focusing on was that which was dark and sinister and hopeless. And so he went to take his life. And he failed. And he was revived. And so that's it. We got to go somewhere. We got to find God or something. And so they came to a church here last Sunday. And that young man came out to me and he said, this lecture that you gave today? I thought it was a sermon, but anyway, he said, this whole thing was speaking right to me. What do I do now? The guy prays to accept Christ, gets a Bible, and life completely turned around in an instant like that. How do you explain that? A man swallowed up in darkness, and then goodness came into his life. No hope, then hope. You and I know what's good. The existence, the presence of good is overwhelming. Again, as I said earlier, over and over again, God says that it is good. Origen, the great early church father, says the power of choosing good and evil is within the reach of all. You think about that, it goes exactly with that Deuteronomy verse, that we can choose evil, we can choose good, the choice is ours. But what's always amazing is the human standard of what's good and evil or right and wrong. We don't all think that the exact same thing is right or the exact same thing is wrong. We have our level of morality. What's interesting is that even criminals, we are told, have a morality. Did you know that? I found it interesting. I took a tour some time ago of LA County prisons, and I was blown away to find out of the hierarchy within a prison. And if you are a white-collar crime type of individual, you've, I don't know what that means, jewelry thief or bank robber, you're like top dog, man. You're like somebody. But whatever your crimes are, the lower down the line they are, they have a standard. They have a scale. They have a morality. Isn't it weird? And by the way, certain criminals, they don't make it out alive because their crimes are so hideous to the criminals that the criminals kill those kinds of people. There's a morality to some degree or another about what is right and wrong. And so why is there evil and why is there good? The Bible comes right out and tells us the reason why there's good and evil is because man has rejected God. That's why there's evil. But even a precursor to that, the Bible tells us that evil is something that originates out of a spiritual realm. And we've talked a lot these last few weeks about that. That the whole first original sin story begins with the spirit realm and Lucifer and all of that. Again, we covered that last time together. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 tells us. Hebrews 10, 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. God's laws are good. God's laws are for life. And so when we look, we see this immediate clash of logic and reason and debate and religion. If God is good, why is there so many bad things that are going out there? And why doesn't he do something about it? I'm going to try to end in time tonight for you to ask some of those questions as we've promised. C.S. Lewis, a great quote by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, when a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still left in him. Can someone say amen to that? The closer you get to God and the love of God, the more wretched you see yourself. Isn't it amazing? But that's actually good news. If you're not a Christian tonight, that's actually a good thing. God gets so, you're so drawn close to God and your relationship to him is so sweet that in a very beautiful way, you look at yourself and you just go, yuck. But then there's that beautiful Beauty and the Beast story where God the Beauty would hang out with Jack the Beast. And yet he does. But that quote, let's put it back up by C.S. Lewis. When a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still left in him. When a man is getting worse, he understands his own badness less and less. That's a powerful statement. That's the hardening of the heart, if you want to put it that way. But this goodness. So where does this come from? The use of a kind or gentle word and the ability to distinguish that kind and gentle word. We say that that's good. Be kind. Be nice. Be kind. We tell our kids, we say to one another, we have a standard of good. And I'm going to argue with you tonight that that good standard came from God. We have the remarkable emotion and the sense of safety and security with a caress or to be held tight. That's goodness. I believe that's come from God. I'm always fascinated by this, and I'm not kidding, I'm not joking. Aromas and foods, the taste of them. I don't believe in God. Have you had an In-N-Out burger? I don't believe God exists. Have you had Wahoo's fish tacos? How can you say God doesn't exist? The things that we eat and enjoy, the things that we smell, the goodness of God, a sunset, a baby born. Can I say this even? I don't know why, but there seems to be a rash of this going on right now. A lot of our dear brothers and sisters, young and old alike, are seeing Jesus, dying young and dying now. And you've got to understand the level of goodness that when a family can look into the eyes of a departing dad or grandpa or a teenager or a child knowing this baby is going to go see Jesus. That's not delusional. They've worked through their tears. They've grieved. They've vomited. They've cried. They've wept. They've done everything they can. And of course, it hurts. But how do you explain this over and over again? Listen, please. How do you explain this? Last Sunday, a precious family from this church. Remember we prayed for the little boy, 3-year-old boy a couple weeks ago who fell in the pool? That little boy died last week. And a few days after that baby went to go see Jesus, mom and dad were right here in this sanctuary praising God last Sunday with tears on their cheeks, with hands lifted up to God's glory. How do you do that? Oh, it's delusional. They're in shock. My dear friend, death visits every one of us. And in that moment, in those times of crisis, the issue will come. Listen, think of this. There is no God, there is no hope, there is no nothing. This is all there is and it's over. If that's your worldview, then cry, hopelessly cry. But we want to introduce to you the goodness of God. And the goodness of God says that he is just, that he is fair, that he is loving, that he is kind, that he sent his son Jesus Christ here into this world that you and I could experience eternal life. He is good. And of course we're going to miss our loved one that's passing, but we know exactly where they're going. And we're going to see them. Amen. How about this one? Regarding the argument of good and evil and why. If there is no God, then there is not one stitch of justice in the universe. Did you know that there's no God? Some serial killer murders a bunch of people, or some drunk takes out your wife in a car crash. What do you say as an atheist? What do you say with somebody who just says, there is no God and it is what it is? You would say to us in your moment of strength and in position of calm, you'd say, well, you know, everyone's got to deal with that and it's just tough luck. It's the way that it is. It's the world. And that's very tragic. No, you see, I'm not into believing delusions. Well, I know somebody whose life is documented more than any human being that's ever lived. His name's Jesus, and he came and he said, keep your eye on, I'm paraphrasing this one, keep your eye on me, I'm gonna break the grave. I'll bust it. In fact, I'll tell you in advance, I'm gonna be rejected, crucified, I'm gonna be killed on the cross, and 3 days later, I'll be back from the dead. So keep your eyes out. It's all written down. Watch and see. To what end? Absolute hope. Because when you understand that there is a reason for good and that there is a reason for evil, and there's an explanation for them both, that you go back to the origin, that good must precede evil, and that you go back, keep going back, until you bump into God. And you think of the justice he shall bring. When a child has been murdered or something has happened, you can say to them, God says in the end, I will make all things right and I will be just. God says in the end, all human beings will stand before him and he will be just and righteous. But Pastor, what's going to become? My child's been taken from me from this maniac, just let out of jail. 3 days later, kills my baby. Go, what? Where's God? Listen, God is going to settle this. There's a day coming. If you don't believe in God, what are you going to tell somebody? Well, listen, we know that evil exists. It's obvious. I'm so grateful that in the face of evil, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I'm a moody shepherd. No. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the good shepherd. That's good. But we know that evil exists. That's our second thing tonight before we begin to wrap this up, is the fact that evil exists, obviously. So why does God allow it? Well, when you say, why does God allow it, I hope your question is, does God not care? That's why he just lets it continue? No, he's not like that. There is a day coming, again, as I said, that God is going to right the wrongs. But regarding evil, how do we know? Now, I know this is radical. It's so sad. It shouldn't be. But I'm a big fan of us starting a campaign. We should start this campaign. How long has the Ten Commandments been out of classrooms in public schools now? Anybody know? Long time. Since 1964? Do people get murdered on school campuses? Is there disrespect on the campuses? Why not just give us a year? Everybody who claims to be really tolerant, why don't you practice what you preach? Be really tolerant of us. And let us put the Ten Commandments back in class for a year, just on the wall. We won't even talk about them. We'll just put them on the wall. Talk about good and evil. Imagine somebody sitting in a room and it says, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have any strange gods before me. Some people, that's weird. They just look at it, whatever. Then they read the second one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Third one. You shall remember to keep holy the Lord's day or the Sabbath. Well, whatever. Four. You shall honor your father and mother. I'm not going home tonight. The kid's like, really? Look, it's in his head now. It's in his head. And that's the problem, by the way. You can't have that in their head. Number five, you shall not murder. What is wrong with that? Well, you don't want to quench a child's ability to express himself. You shall not murder. That's good news. You shall not steal. Wow. You shall not bear false witness or lie against your neighbor. That's good. Really good stuff here. Isn't that great stuff? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Well, then what's Hollywood going to produce? Are you serious? According to God, we need rules. So we don't mess around with our neighbor's spouse. That's how messed up we are. I believe we're inherently good. Stop. God says different. 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's possessions. Wow, messes you up. He's got a car that I want. Don't even look across the street. It'll mess you up. Keep your eyes at home. Aren't those good things? God gave them. It's not like thou shalt not. Oh, what? Thou shalt not. Ouch. Thou shalt not. Oh, what a bummer. You know what he's saying? Do these things, live an awesome life. If you do these things, you're not going to get shot by your neighbor. If you do these things, you're not going to wind up in jail. If you do these things, it's going to go good for you. God loves you because there's good and evil. God wants you to do good. And so get ready to ask a question. I'll call upon you with your hand up. But in this, setting this up, let me read this final verse, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, I'm reading the Bible, people, if you don't know. Well, there's somebody that may not know. They're here new. Isn't this beautiful? The Bible says, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You hear the choice in that? Because God didn't make robots. He made us with the ability to choose.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, Why Is There a Good and Evil? We're very happy that you could join us today. Why Is There a Good and Evil? Is part of Pastor Jack's new series called, The Why Series, a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which is our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Do you feel the growing tide of hostility in this world? It's almost unavoidable. The frustration, the outrage, and the victim mentality that takes over respect and reason. But how do we share our faith in a society that's godless? And how do we stay rooted in biblical truth in such an angry world? And how do we continue to publicly testify for Jesus? Our book of the month for August is called We Will Not Be Silenced, written by Erwin Lutzer. It prepares us to live out our faith by gaining a better understanding of legitimate hurts like racism, sexism, and poverty. When our culture gives us a toxic response and disguises it as a solution, We Will Not Be Silenced shows us how to respond to those outside the faith with compassion and gentleness without affirming their beliefs. So, are you ready to move beyond fear and boldly represent Christ? Our world is watching what we do, and the world needs Jesus right now more than ever. We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer is a must-read for strength and encouragement. And it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.